This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. SpaceX completes a manned mission. TikTok is on the clock. Proton Mail CEO is speaking out and he is not happy. And the inventor of the mouse is dead at 91. I want to welcome you to episode 1464 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 3rd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. We want to make sure that you take a few moments. And all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, get subscribed to the podcast. It's real simple to do. Make sure you hook up with the newsletter as well. It's on the website as well. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Discord. Our Discord channel is basically available right on the website, right in the show notes. And if you're really super engaged, you can be part of our Slack team. All you have to do to be connected with that is to contact me here at geeknews@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, I'm here on Facebook as well as Todd Cochran. Just search for me there. All the partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com. That includes the new media show, the Gadget Professor, the Podcast Legend Show, and GNC Week in Review. Definitely check out all those shows. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. All you got to do to hook up with my deals is really go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. When you're over on the website, you're going to find all of my promo codes. You know, it's August and I haven't updated that page yet, so I need to, but the codes are still good. Don't worry. Get connected up. Get in there and use a code, whether it be a 30% off new product purchase, whether it be a $499.com. New or transferred domains, or a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. Again, a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year. $12 gets you going with a free domain. Or again, another deal, $1 a month. Yes, I say again, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And we've got that GoDaddy website builder. Again, all those codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Every time you use one of my codes or refer one of my codes, the most important thing that happens there is it's just like an in-kind donation to the show. When you tell a friend that's getting ready to start up a business or buy a .com or whatever it may be, you tell them to come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, use my promo code, and it's just like you've just hit the PayPal button when you do that. It's that simple on how you can support the show. Again, tell your family, friends, people that you know, coworkers, mention during Zoom meetings or whatever you may be on, meeting with teams. And for your business, definitely use the promo codes. Everyone needs to protect all of their domain name. That's really, you know, if you've got a business, you need to buy some variables of those. Dad spent the last Friday doing a little bit of that as well. We actually picked up a couple of cool ones. Podcaster.new takes you to over blueberry.com. Another one we picked up. Basically, we got some domains that we can use, kind of some promos here and there. And every once in a while, I'll find one that I'll pick up. Found some that I forgot to redirect. But there's always room to do something new, something cool. Build a new website and do a trial. For $12, come on, you can almost do anything, right? And make yourself a future, and you know, it's all this talk about locking things back down again. You need to build yourself a COVID contingency plan. You really, really do. It is the time. If you haven't done it already, we could be in this for another 3 to 9 months to 12. It's hard to say. It could be summer of next year before we get out of this. Build yourself a COVID-proof business. It's really kind of something that you ought to really look at, especially if you're not working right now. Think about something you can put online and have an e-commerce site. You name it. There's all kinds of opportunities there. So again, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. Hey, so let's go ahead. You know, I haven't gotten too much feedback yet on this conspiracy thing I've come up with, just as a little bit of fun. But a couple of you have weighed in, and I got an email here from Rob. He says, "Hey, Todd, I wrote a conspiracy theory some years ago. I'm updating it here as cell phones were not as commonly in use back then." And he sent me, "Global warming is caused by the internet and mobile phones." Here's his conspiracy theory. "With increased use of the internet, more and more data is being sent over the phone lines and other cables. The friction of all those electrons evolved in this process generates a tremendous amount of heat, which is warming up the earth. Not only that, but the increased use of cell phones and other Wi-Fi technology, there's an added hazard. As you know, microwave ovens cook food by generating intermolecular friction between the molecules of the food. The microwaves cause water molecules to vibrate, then the increased friction between the molecules result in heat. The same thing is happening in our atmosphere. A signal sent back and forth between user and the next, molecules in our atmosphere are getting hotter and hotter. 5G makes the molecules move even faster, resulting in more heat. All this leads to global warming." So, Rob, thank you for your email. I know it is tongue in cheek, maybe, but that is an actual conspiracy theory that was written by one of our longtime listeners. So outstanding use here. Very, very cool way to start the show off. I can't reply to that while during the show. Someone's asking me a question. So anyway, what is your global warming? And actually, Michael Dare and I have been talking a little bit, and you know, we're just having a little fun with this segment before we get into the regular content. But Michael's been texting me back and forth, and I have to have got to look at my phone, Michael, because I think you have an Android device, so I can't look at your messages everywhere, not like on my desktop. But let me see if I can find the latest message you sent me. He says, "I've been down so many rabbit holes and read so many conspiracies, but so-and-so makes me look like a novice. Should we set up boundaries? Try and reduce the amount of political or agenda-driven ones? Should we allow the David Icke content, the Q Nation content? I want this to be fun, probably just like you, but I don't want you to become a political target." So I think we have to be careful, Michael, yes, in the in the fun about talking about conspiracy theories. Everything revolves around political. It's always some politician's fault right now, right? So, I think we need to stay away from the political stuff. The whole Q thing, I'm sure there's, why isn't there 25 podcasts on that alone? Because those make for some, I'm sure, for some eyebrow raisers and fun to listen to, if nothing else. So, whatever we can find, let's try not to get people pissed off. It's too easy to do that. Too easy for me to do that on my own here. So anyway, all open to it. So, if you want to jump in and have a little fun with this, Michael has joined the Slack channel. He's in the Slack, and we're probably going to start a new channel in the Slack channel called Conspiracies, where, we can have a little fun with it. But anyway, that's it. So not going to waste too much time on this at the beginning of the show, but maybe we'll find one or two to chit chat about and have a little fun. And I'm sure there's a lot of content out there. But hey, the big thing, the big real news, non-conspiracy completely, is congratulations to SpaceX. The NASA astronauts are back on Earth. And what was hilarious was SpaceX really did not have a handle on, it's lucky this space capsule didn't like land on a boat, because there was enough, and I don't know how far offshore they were, but there was one heck of a lot of, I caught it afterwards. I just caught the news. I didn't know they were coming back. Lost my geek cred here. But there was like a flotilla of boats that were around the recovery scene. And they were not real happy about that. But anyway, SpaceX Dragon capsule undocked from ISS over the weekend, returning astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken to Earth. The vehicle descended to an atmosphere and parachuted down the ocean without incident, except for all the ships that went into the area, and the vessel splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico. And this was the first water landing for a crewed U.S. mission in almost 50 years. Think about that. Think about that. 50 years it's been. And, but anyway, 50 years it's been since we have had an actual splashdown. You know, as a kid, so 50 years ago, I would have been six. And maybe the only reason I remember anything is because it's so ingrained in like national news clips from so many years. I don't know if it's my memory or if it's a memory of a news or seeing it in the news, but 50 years since we've had a splashdown. So just think about that. But hey, we are back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back in the lift business. This is big. Congratulations to SpaceX. Congratulations to NASA. Now let's get that bad boy turned around and let's get back. Let's get back in the business and let's do another lift with the astronauts to the International Space Station. And again, I don't know what the schedule is. I don't know how many they're taking on the next run. I know this was part of a demo flight, but we'll move on here. So the president says today, TikTok has until September 15th to sell its U.S. operations or close. And it is looking, and Microsoft's stock is up, that Microsoft might be a contender to buy TikTok. Now, I told you on the last show that TikTok seems to be, for me at least, and yes, I do have a TikTok account. I have a ghost one with no TikTok videos or anything. And you will not find it. You can't follow me. I'm not going to advertise it. But I've been, again, just as a social media experiment, been looking at the content that's on TikTok. And once you get past the dancing and all the other stuff and do some searches, you find a lot of stuff that I just don't see anywhere else. And I did some comparison over the weekend. I tried to look at some stuff on, tried to find it on YouTube and trying to find the same video clips, and I couldn't. So that to me was a wow moment where I'm finding newsworthy items in TikTok, and I'm not finding these news items anywhere else, being banned, shadow banned, you know, on Facebook, considered to be violence or whatever. YouTube takes them down. And we're talking about protest and that type of content. Again, 15 to 60 second clips. That's it. But anyway, the president says they have done September 15th to sell, its U.S. operations are closed. But what, and we know, it's already been proven, it's been independently confirmed that TikTok is doing an incredible amount of stuff, capturing lots of information over your phone, lots, and sending it back. It's doing your keystrokes, it's looking at your content, contacts, whole variety of stuff it's looking at, and why these apps are allowed to do that in the first place, I really want to know. And now, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States provided the 45-day extension in order for Microsoft to make the purchase. Not everyone is pleased with the idea of a Microsoft buy. New York Times reports that the White House trade advisor, Pete Navarro, said instead of purchasing TikTok, the U.S. would ban the app as well as other Chinese-run services like Tencent, WeChat, And he's accused Microsoft of enabling Chinese censorship and said the company should divest any other business of China if it goes through with a TikTok acquisition. Microsoft, in a blog post yesterday, said it would offer world-class security, privacy, and digital safety protections for TikTok users. It stated that Microsoft would ensure that all private data of TikTok American users is transferred to and remains in the United States. Now, remember, they just said transferred to? Transferred to from where? China? To the extent that any such data is currently stored or backed up outside the United States. Oh, that was the added comment. Microsoft would ensure that data is deleted from servers outside the country after it's transferred. Well, I can't guarantee that. TikTok has issued the following statement response. They said TikTok is loved by 100 million Americans because it's a home for entertainment, self-expression, and connection, and it's absolutely a time warp app. You get on it, you use it, the next thing you know, you're like, where did 3 hours go? It's like gaming. It's that addictive. It's really addictive. We're motivated by their passion and creativity and committed to continue to bring joy to families and meaningful careers to those who create on our platform. Now, what it also generates off the platform, which I was a little bit surprised about and was not aware of up to this point, was a site called OnlyFriends or Venmo. I was familiar with Venmo, but apparently very popular. I don't know if men do it as well. Very popular TikTokers have OnlyFriends accounts. And to my understanding, people can pay on OnlyFriends for exclusive content that I can only imagine is probably X-rated. So that in itself is an interesting probably discussion point in itself, just to talk about the OnlyFriends website and why so many people are using it. I don't know if it's because so many people are out of work. People have been driven to do this type of activity. I don't know. If anybody has an OnlyFriends account, and I'm wrong, and again, I do not have an OnlyFriends account. I've never paid an OnlyFriends account. I've never contributed to a Venmo account or a Cash App or anything like that. But someone send me an email and let me know what content is delivered over OnlyFriends. I can only imagine it's X-rated. That's the only thing I can think of is someone's going to pay someone. You know, if you have a quote unquote account or a content creator, like I'm here, a content creator, and you love my content and you send me a PayPal donation, I don't send you a naked picture back, right? If OnlyFriends is just set up to support people, then okay. But I'm, again, not schooled up on this here. And so someone tell me here what we can be explicit. You can tell me explicitly what OnlyFriends is delivering. So I was just shocked. And matter of fact, it's an interesting dynamic. So not only is TikTok getting all this contact information and everything else supposedly they're being accused of, but at the same time, it's being a vehicle for promotion of some other type of activity, I'm assuming. I'm just assuming here. I don't know completely, and I'm sure guys have OnlyFriends accounts, and I know a lot of women do, because what do they do on TikTok? They don't present me. I see farmers, truck drivers. I see contractors that tell, you know, that's the type of guy TikTok content I get. Amongst the other stuff that I'm searching for, I actually see the stuff that's surfacing on TikTok that isn't surfacing other places. I don't see kids. So it must know, I don't think I put my age in the app when I entered it. So I don't see kids. That's good. So I don't know. And it's an interesting app. And definitely by what you like, they can build a significant profile about you in a big, big way. So anyway, they have until September 15th to sell. I know a lot of people are pissed off. So be it. But again, these Chinese apps are doing something that's drawing the ire of the U.S. government. Proton Mail. And if you don't know what Proton Mail is, Proton Mail, if you want a super secure email account, and outside of the boundaries of Gmail, they are a secure email service. And they have a very high principal standards on information, your account data, all that stuff. And it's a lot of people use ProtonMail. Well, ProtonMail founder is pissed. He says Apple uses monopoly to hold all of us hostage. And he argues that Apple fails to meet the minimum moral responsibility. He says Apple's become monopoly-crushing potential competitors with exploitive fees and conducting censorship on behalf of dictators. Now, that's bold words. ProtonMail founder CEO Andy Yen wrote in a company blog post, "We know this because we have quietly tolerated this exploitation for years." Yen claimed Apple is using its market power to hold all of us developers hostage, referring to the 30% cut Apple takes of any sales through its Apple Store as a tax. He added traditional analogies to retail space breakdown when it comes to software. So he and, of course, Spotify's made these claims. Now, we talked about Amazon at great length on the last show about their fees and how people that are being vendors on Amazon are having a hard time making money. There's always two sides to the coin on this, because I found ProtonMail without Apple. We talked about it on the show, and I went and investigated. I don't use it. I have an email address over there, but I never used it. And I don't pay for their service, which I know they have pay services as well. So interesting move, interesting commentary, and the rhetoric is being ratcheted up across the space. Jennifer says, "Farmer and rancher TikTok rocks," and she says, "Yep, 2 to 3 hours easily fly by. TikTok time is not for the same as regular." It's true. It's a time war. If you're gonna get this app, if I've enticed any of you to go check this app out, please set an alarm. 30 minutes. Set your timer for 30 minutes on your phone so it beeps you when it could, because 30 minutes will just evaporate. It'll be gone. You'll be like, where did that time go? All right, next up, Bill English, the computer mouse co-creator, has died at 91. The engineer inventor was born in 1929 in Kentucky and studied electrical engineering at the university before joining the U.S. Navy. He built the first mouse in 1963 using an idea put forward by his colleague Doug Engelbart while the pair were working on early computing. It would only become commonplace 2 decades later when personal home computers became popular. And here's what's kind of funny. The prototype that he built used the same connector I think we used for mouses for years. Actually, it was a serial plug. But I think my early computers kind of had an adapter that I'm showing on the screen right now. But think about that. 1963 was when he invented this. Now, he became the first person to use a mouse when he built a prototype. And his first was a wooden block with a single button and underneath 2 rolling wheels at 90-degree angles that record vertical and sideways movement. We were working on text editing. The goal was a device that would be able to select characters and words. In an experiment, the pair asked users to try out the mouse alongside other pointing devices, such as a light pen or a joystick, and found the mouse was a clear favorite. They wrote a paper, which was largely ignored for years. At their 1968 demonstration, the mouse was shown to the public for the first time along with video conferencing, word processing, and forward of links similar to what we use on the internet today. As it moves up and down sideways, so does the tracking spot, Doug Engelbart explained to the audience. There's a video of on this. And so anyway, sadly, he died of respiratory failure on 26 July in California. I wonder if he was marked down for COVID. So the only money he ever got was 50,000 licensed from Xerox when Xerox PARC started using the mouse. So probably the most used device by all humans on the planet. You think about it. You think how many of us use a mouse every single day? And I can almost guarantee you all of us use a mouse almost every single day. So I use a trackball, but same principle. An MIT AI system knows when to make a medical diagnosis or defer to an expert. Artificial intelligence can now detect lung, breast, brain, skin, and cervical cancer. But in the world of medical AI, figuring out when to rely on expert versus algorithms is still tricky. It's not simply a matter of who is better at making a diagnosis prediction. Factors like how much time medical professionals have and their level of expertise also comes into play. To address this, researchers from MIT and the AI lab developed a machine learning system that can decide to either make a prediction or defer to an expert. Most importantly, the system can adapt when and how often it defers to a human expert based on the teammate's availability, experience, and scope of practice. For instance, in a busy hospital setting, the system may ask for human assistance only when it's absolutely necessary. So the x-ray is making the diagnosis? If you think about this, artificial intelligence can detect lung, breast, brain, skin, and cervical cancer. So all of those are highly deadly. We lose a lot of women every year between breast cancer and cervical cancer. We lose a lot of people every year from lung cancer. Brain cancer, of course, is a big killer. Skin, not as much, but these are all highly high risk issues. I just wonder if they're using AI and mammograms now, because there's so many women that go through having to have a cyst or something, you know, removed or tested, and it's benign many times, sometimes it may not be. But it is interesting where we're going here. Now, the research trained the system multiple tasks, including looking at chest x-rays to diagnose conditions like collapsed lung. When asked to diagnose cardiomegaly in a large heart, the human AI hybrid model performed 8% better than either the AI or medical professionals could on their own. That's crazy. It's actually good. Next, the researcher will test assistant works and with and defers several experts at once. For instance, the AI might collaborate with different radiologists who are more experienced with different patient populations. So this is big. You don't have to resort to full automation, but at least the AI can say, yes, I'm seeing something, and can be followed up with a doctor. And I'm hoping the ones that say no, they're also following up with a doctor as well. But it's not perfect at this point. Hey, Google has announced Pixel 5, the Pixel 4a, 5G, and the Pixel, all at once. One is available, but flagship is coming this fall. So many of you are Pixel fans. So let's take a look here. First is the $349 Pixel 4a, which is available for pre-order now and will ship on August 20th. Next is the Pixel 5, which will have 5G as a shipping sometime this fall. Finally, there's the Pixel 4a 5G, which costs $499 and also will ship sometime this fall. So it's only the 4a is available today. Google's just up and admitting that it has two more models to release. It's messy but necessary because the Pixel 4a is coming out significantly later than expected. Google says the pandemic kept the 4A from hitting virtual store shelves earlier. So lots of details on these announcements. The link will be up in the show notes. T-Mobile's reached a major stone here in its acquisition of Sprint. It has officially retired the Sprint brand. And I tell you, me and Sprint have a love-hate relationship that goes all the way back to, wow, what year was that? 84 to 87, 8, like 89, 90 time frame. Because I was selling Dial 1 I was selling MCI while still being active duty in the Navy. I was in the Hanford area. A station in Lemoore, but I had sales reps in Fresno and Visalia and throughout the valley selling MCI. Sprint was a big time in Dow One business at that time. You guys remember that? They actually sold long distance. How many of you remember Sprint sold long? But they were a big competitor with me with MCI. And of course, AT&T. Last ballot in won on the Dial One Wars. And I came up with my own way to waiting at the register's office to the last final moment before dropping off and getting stamped my my Dial One ballots. That was the year I ended up having to pay the California Tax Board the biggest tax check I ever have had to write in my life. But I had Sprint Mobile or Wi-Fi for many years, and but Sprint is gone. Bye-bye. Televisa. Can't say that I'll miss you. Some of you were loyal Sprint users for many, many years. You may be sad to see it go. Walmart Plus. Launch date, pricing information, and more. If you tend to shop a lot at Walmart, and I have not been in a Walmart store since the beginning of the pandemic. You need to know something. Walmart Plus, this is going to be Walmart's answer to Amazon Prime. With so many perks, there has to be a little bit to compete against it. Walmart does still have a few advantages over Amazon, although, and the plans to push those leads through the snow program, in particular, Walmart is going to match Prime with free two-day shipping and add same-day grocery delivery on top of that. Will they deliver grocery to my country home? I doubt it. So, how much is it going to cost? There's no clear day when it's going to launch. There is a website for it, but that's all it says, coming soon. It looks like it's going to cost $98 a year, but supposedly will come with a lot of perks. Of course, Amazon Prime is now $119, which means that Walmart Plus will be at $21 less. But, you know, if you guys, you know, Walmart Plus would be Sam's and Walmart, right? So, are they really going to compete with Amazon? Because you can't get everything you can get at Amazon at Walmart. But maybe their distribution centers are going to ramp up and have the same level of products and services. Time will tell where this goes. Maybe people have an opportunity to get into the Walmart ecosystem as resellers. Who knows? Maybe. What's new on Netflix for the week of August 2nd? Well, Almost Love, Connected, Immigration Nation, A-Go-Go, Corey Carson Summer Camp, Malibu Rescue, Sam J3, a comedy special. Lots of stuff coming in August. I have the link up in the show notes. You can check that out. It's courtesy of lifehacker.com. Virgin Galactic wants to whip passengers across the planet at Mach 3. So that's 2,300 miles per hour. For those of you that are just checking, they've teamed up with Rolls-Royce to develop a new aircraft. They could launch passengers to their destinations at up to three times the speed of sound. Oh, isn't this interesting? This isn't talking about going into space. This is just talk about going fast. The company announced Monday that it has inked a deal with the famous automobile and engine manufacturer to collaborate in designing the propulsion system for a new generation of high-speed commercial planes. Virgin Galactic also said it is cooperating with the FAA to outline a certification framework. The company founded by British tycoon Richard Branson says it's working on the concept of a Delta wing aircraft with a targeted top speed of Mach 3 and a capacity to seat 9 to 19 people. It will probably cost lots of money. At top speed, the zippy new plane could reduce flight times between the U.S. coast to under 90 minutes, and trans-Pacific flights could take under 5 hours. Now that, my friends and ladies and gentlemen, Trans-Pacific flight and under 5 hours? Do you know how long it takes to get to Japan from almost anywhere in the United States? That's 12 or 13 hours. They don't talk about range yet. Virgin says it's completed a mission concept review that includes representatives from NASA. The review concluded the design is feasible, can move forward with the next phase of designing specific system architecture and determining which materials to use. Huh. Those are still going to be really expensive, expensive seats. And what's going to happen is you're not going to get lunch if it's a 90-minute run. You're going to get a strap in, hold on. Here's a Coke. Give me the Coke. Now we're landing. So Jack, what do you think about this? Mach 3, baby. Mach 3. What is the ceiling on that airplane going to have to be? 50,000 feet? 55,000 feet? Mach 3? Holy cow. So again, a new generation of high-speed commercial airplane. The cost per trip has got to be crazy. In this economy, who's going to pay that? Okay, so are you doing something where you want to protect your identity? Do you need a burner phone? Well, the Nokia 3310 is the number one on the list at $64. The number two is called the Plum Ram 7 for $55. The Nokia 8110 4G, $70. The Alcatel QuickFlip 4044C at $47. And the Zenko Tiny T1 at $50. Now, why are these going to make your privacy any better? So if you just need a phone, throw in your bag when traveling, you're hoping to minimize surveillance by your smartphone. Don't you love that? How you just, hey, you got a mobile phone? Yes. You're being surveilled by everybody. Amazon, Google, everyone's surveilling. You just need a dumb phone, right?
Okay.
So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Verizon strikes roaming deal to allow for 5G use in South Korea. Verizon travelers with a compatible 5G device will be able to get 5G when visiting the country. So you'll be able to use South Korea's 3.5 gigahertz mid-band 5G network. In its test, a U.S. carrier said it's able to get average download speeds of 252 megabytes. Now, here's the problem. Most of those international data plans limit you to like 50 megs a day or something. So you can use up your entire bandwidth for in a minute. Really? You also need a compatible Verizon 5G unlimited plan at home to be able to take advantage of the 5G abroad. Verizon currently charges $10 per day for travel pass. You use your phone internationally, although that slows high-speed data after, yes, half a gig, so 500 megs. So you got all this high speed you can use in South Korea, and you really can't use it. It's the stupidest thing ever. This is just a way for you to come home with a broadband bill from your international travel that is so high it makes you have a heart attack. Hey, Toby. Yes, Mach 3 greetings. Cheez-It is giving away $10 in promo credit on Amazon right now. Okay, Cheez-It? Yes, the snack Cheez-It? So Cheez-It snapped and streamed on Amazon. Offers you $5 towards Cheez-It products on Amazon, as well as $5 Prime Video credit just for watching 5 hours of select content on Prime Video this month. There are 15 movies included in the Cheez-It Snap and Stream collection this month. All the films included are pretty great. You could, you know, here's the deal. You don't have to watch. Just let it play. You have through the end of August to watch over 5 hours of content, earn $10 in credit. So you want to get $10 in credit? Link is in the show notes. So if you get the $5, you get the $5 you can use it on Amazon purchases. Speaking of Amazon may be facing antitrust probe from New York Attorney General. This is just one of a long list of investigations into big tech's potential monopoly power. New York Attorney General Letitia James is joining the investigations into Amazon's market power, according to Bloomberg. James' office is partnering with California's Attorney General and the Federal Trade Commission on their investigations into the e-commerce giant. And this news comes after Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos was grilled last week. And of course, we talked about the 30% and these ongoing fees that are made by independent, that they charge independent to businesses, and all the tiering that goes on and the no risk and everything else. It's okay to take a little bit of profit, but come on, Amazon, I think you've gotten just a little greedy. Bill Gates. Some of you are not happy with Bill Gates. Matter of fact, some of you think Bill Gates is involved in a global conspiracy. So what has Bill Gates been doing during the lockdown? Well, he definitely doesn't have to hang out with his wife because he's got a 66,000 square foot home. Wow, in Seattle. He says, I've been playing tennis. I've got a haircut where both of us were wearing masks and my hairdresser was COVID free. So I bet Bill Gates probably made him take the COVID test before he come, gave him a haircut. I bet Bill paid him big money. I went a long time without a haircut. Eventually, I had, Bill Gates knows how many exact haircuts he has. The guy reads 10 books a week. And I wore a mask. The man who cut my hair wore a mask, and he knew he was his COVID-19 status. Okay. That's how you, that's how the rich and famous barbers get rich, is by cutting the hair of the rich and famous. Gates said he also had a coronavirus test several months ago after he started worrying about a cough he had. If I worried about getting a COVID test every time I had a cough, I'd have had five tests already this whole COVID experience. He said, I hope tennis is still okay. I don't think any risk has been identified, he said. I mean, we don't go to each other. You touch the ball, right? The tennis ball, right, Bill? Of your fellow partner? Again, the lockdown's bound to be a little more luxurious, and I'm sure Bill eats pretty healthy. You're one of the richest men in the world. You better. 66,000 square foot home. How's that? What would you do with a house that big? I have a hard time using my loft. You know, really. You know, come on. Virgin Orbit did reveal the cause of a failed May test launch and its future plans. The next demonstration attempt will have a NASA payload on board. Some bum plumbing, that's their quote, kept Virgin Orbit from getting to space during a demonstration launch. Specifically, it was a breach in the high-pressure line carrying cryogenic liquid oxygen, LOX, L-O-X, to our first stage combustion chamber due to a component failure. Well, you don't have LOX, you don't have fire, you don't have a rock. Without a supplier of oxidizer, that engine soon stopped providing thrust, ending our powered flight and ultimately the test itself. So, but it only fired for about 10 seconds and then the party was over and it went poof, poof, poof and did not end well. So, their next launch will have a load on it, though. So we'll see. Did they blow that rocket up? I don't know. I'm just seeing a little bit of video of it replay here. Google details its plan for Windows apps on Chrome OS. As you remember, Google had made a deal with Parallels. And now we have more information on how this will work. A new interview lays out the options Google considered before arriving at its virtualization and what it hopes to do with Parallels. When it launched, Google Chrome OS has a little more than a browser. Google expected people to do everything they need to do with web apps, but 9 years later, people still want local software. That's especially true for businesses, and Google's pushing to get more companies to switch to Chromebooks. So Google considered adding dual boot functionality to it. However, Google decided that doing so would compromise the security of the BIOS firmware, and boot and security is one of the primary selling points for Chrome. So initially, Parallels Desktop on Chrome will boot a full copy of Windows 10, so you'll be able to manage programs and files just like you would on a real Windows computer. bonus. Chrome OS will even redirect some Windows-specific file types to the virtual OS to make the process smoother. However, running a full desktop inside Parallels is a clunky experience. At the end of the day, eventually Google hopes to have Windows app act like part of the Chrome OS interface, so you can just launch a Windows app without going to a different desktop. And you're probably going to need a little more powerful computer to get her done. ADT, you guys know ADT, right? The security company. ADT is going to sell and install Nest devices under a $450 million Google deal. It will soon become a cornerstone of ADT's smart home offerings. So that's a whopping $450 million into ADT. That's crazy. And as part of the deal, ADT Corp's of more than 20,000 home security professionals begin to sell and install Google Nest devices, such as Nest security cameras and Nest Hub Max, and in getting Google completely integrated into your home. Eventually, Nest devices will enhance ADT security monitoring and become the cornerstone of ADT's smart home portfolio, with the idea being that Google's machine learning capabilities will help cut down on false alarms, allow for more ways to get security alerts, and deliver more helpful notifications. ADT users will be able to sign up for Nest Aware. The premium Nest subscription plan offers 30 days event video history along with intelligent alerts. My intelligent alerts with the Nest cameras are not that intelligent. You get lots of false positive. I get a window flash. You want to trick a Nest device? All you have to do is pull up close to a home and flash the light. Flash the lights 4 or 5 times, and the Nest device will think someone is in your house, and it will send you a text. Hey, we've seen movement in your house. You go to your phone and there's nothing going on, but all you've seen is a window flash. So that's how you send enough false alarms to a Nest. If you're going to be using a Nest device, do not have it pointed towards a window. It will lose its mind all night long. Every time a car drives by, gets a little window flash, lightning or something, it will report movement in your home. ESPN and other Disney channels now live on Fubo, F-U-B-O TV. ESPN, ESP2, FX, FXX, Disney Channel, National Geographic, and more. How much does that cost? Fubo TV is now $60 a month. So, really? They're raising their prices just like YouTube TV is. We get rid of one overlord, and another one takes over. Windows by the numbers, Windows 10, Windows 7, pause their ups and downs. Now, think about this. Windows 10 turned 5 years old in July. Wow. When did we get Windows 11? Marking the anniversary with something of a pause in its market share growth. According to California analytics company Net Applications, Windows 10 purportedly grew by 0.4 percentage point to reach 59.4% of global OS share last month, representing 68.2% of all Windows additions. The second number is more important of the pair, however, and is nearly identical to that of the month before. As always, Windows 10 percentages of only Windows PCs that are 68.82% was larger than the percentage of all personal computers. Because Windows does not power every system. In July, Windows was the OS on 87% of the world's personal computers, up 3% of a point. Of the remaining 13%, all but 0.6 of a point ran Mac, Linux, or Chrome OS. So Windows 10, 5 years. Wow. Windows 10 has already surpassed Windows 7's peak, which was 67.1% of Windows in June of 2015. And Windows growth was just purely because people bought more computers. So the FCC calls for vigorous debate on social media crackdown, aka the president asked them to look into what social media companies are doing, ghosting and all that stuff. Here's my solution to all of this. If you think your message is being ghosted, if you think the content that you are putting out is being taken down, your only recourse is simply put up your own website. Your.com, put your content on your.com and then promote it and build a following and let people read stuff on your website. Bypass social media. Bypass the ghosting, shadow banning, and everything else that's going on. So, but anyway, there will be a place on the FCC website where you'll be able to comment about this. Longstanding rules require the agency to put such petitions out for public comment promptly, and we will follow the requirements here, the FCC chairman said. So they're going to look at that. The FCC's public notice asking for comment says that interested persons may file statements opposing or supporting the petition for rulemaking. The deadline for making initial statements is 30 days from today. The docket is available. And click New Filing or Express to file a comment. All right. And of course, some people are saying reject it. Some people are saying let's pile on. All right. A lot of folks are really kind of confused about Google One. So if you want to use Google One to back up your Android phone, there's a great instructional on how to do that. Link is it will be up in the show notes on how to make that. A duplicate article. Google signs up 6 more partners for its digital banking platform coming to Google Pay. So those include Bank Mobile, BBVA, USA, BMO Harris, Coastal Community Bank, First Independent Bank, and SEFCU. They join Google's existing partners, Citi, and FCU has already announced a total of 8 banks lined up for the project. So, this is known as Project Cash. It was first reported by the Wall Street Journal in November. Much like the mobile banking service offered today by a number of startups, Google will provide consumer-facing front end to the digital banking service it makes available, while the accounts themselves will be held by an FDIC-backed partner institution. However, unlike mobile banking startups, which tend to note their banking partners online only in the fine print, Google is giving the banks a co-branded experience. In addition, Google explains that by working with a wide range of partners, from large global banks down to small credit unions with deep community ties, it will be able to do a better job building products that meet its customers' diverse set of needs. So while keeping their money in an FDIC or NCUA-insured account, we're excited the 6 new banks have signed up to offer digital checkings and save. So, product expected to launch sometime next year. Garmin reportedly paid millions of dollars to resolve its recent ransomware attack. So they purportedly made a payment through a third party. I am not surprised. But it goes to show you, if they paid millions of dollars, they did not have a good backup plan. Dish buys Ting Mobile, Ting, T-I-N-G, to expand its wireless business. Former Ting parent Tucows, remember Tucows, will also help Dish manage its wireless backend. So again, they are a mobile virtual network operator, MVNO. And I don't know who Ting uses. Does Ting use, they use T-Mobile. The deal follows Dish's recent acquisition of Boost Mobile at the start of July. The telecom paid $1.4 billion to buy the company from T-Mobile. Is Ting T-Mobile's network for 7 years? So I don't know. I think Ting uses T-Mobile as an MVNO. And interesting. Okay, so that's going to wrap the show up for tonight. Again, if you have a conspiracy for now, geeknews@gmail.com. And Michael Dare will be heading up the effort to collect information and to give me things that he finds. We won't have it on every single show for sure. And but anyway, we want to thank all of you for being here tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address if you've got comments on today's show. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And be back here on Thursday for a regular show. So I've been looking at the calendar. It's August 3rd. Hawaii is still locked down. They've had an increase in cases here, 207 reported today. And the governor doesn't look like he's there. He looks like he's ready to lock it down tighter. So I do not foresee. School is supposed to go back soon. I don't think it's going to go back. So I would foresee that in September, I probably will not be able to make a trip back to Honolulu either. So, cause I'm not going in quarantining for 14 days for a few day trip. And, it is what it is, but, everyone, stay safe out there. Take care of your loved ones. Take care of the elderly. Watch out for each other. Be careful. There's a surge right now across the country. What's going on? So just, you know, do what you've been doing. Stay safe. And we'll see you all back here on Thursday. It's my pleasure to bring you the show. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central Podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.